Welcome to The Deep End by OnDeck, a podcast where visionary builders, creators, and experts discuss world-changing ideas. I'm your host, Marshall Kozloff. Today, we have some exciting news for you. Today's guests are the two co-CEOs of OnDeck, David Booth and Eric Torenberg. We're here to discuss OnDeck's mission to expand the startup economy. At OnDeck, we believe that startups are the building blocks of a better future. Startups drive economic growth by creating jobs, improving quality of life, and making meaningful progress to solve society's biggest problems. We also believe that the biggest constraint on startup creation is the number of founders. For each person starting a company today, there are hundreds more sitting on the sidelines. This is an enormous waste of human potential. That's why we're excited to announce ODX, a $100 million community-backed fund to put the next generation of founders in business. ODX backs founders with a check for $125,000 and unlimited access to the OnDeck network, which includes thousands of companies, founders, operators, and investors that builders can tap into for talent, capital, and distribution. Many of these investors and operators are also participants in the community-backed fund, meaning that they are personally incentivized to help ODX participants succeed. ODF, our original Founders Fellowship, will continue to exist under the OnDeck umbrella, but will now be free for those accepted. ODF and ODX are interlinked programs separated by a key difference: conviction. ODF is for prospective founders who are in more of an exploratory phase. They're likely researching markets, validating an idea, hunting for a co-founder, or leveling up their founder skills. ODX will be for those who are 100% ready to take a plunge and start a company. Both programs will exist as part of OnDeck's global network of networks. Eric and David joined the show to discuss their belief that Silicon Valley is no longer a physical location, but a mindset. OnDeck captures the essence of Silicon Valley, an abundant system of talent, capital, and ideas made available for an internet-native era. Our conversation today speaks to these big ideas and dives into the exciting details of ODX and the many other programs and communities that make up the OnDeck ecosystem. Eric, David, welcome to The Deep End.
Great to be here.
It's good to be here.
I guess for you, Eric, it is welcome back. It's been a few months. Good to see you as always. David, just for the audience's sake real quick, because they've already heard a really great episode of Eric about higher education, it'd be great for you just to introduce yourself, name, rank, serial number, all the good stuff.
I love it. I'd love to. I've been involved in OnDeck since around 2017. I met Eric at an OnDeck event, funnily enough, back in San Francisco, and I was thinking about what was next for me at the time, so volunteered to run the events in London, where I quickly built a large community, started to see the magic happening around me, and in building a relationship with Eric, saw something here that it was worth going all in on. So I've built a career to date around these intersections of fundraising, of product, of law, of thinking about ownership management, thinking about helping founders fundraise, hire. And OnDeck to me was a moment where we could translate that into helping more people start companies, not just the ones who are already on their way.
What I like about your answer there is you got at the idea that there's been different iterations of OnDeck, and now we're basically here to very literally talk about the next iteration. So Eric, will you do us the honors and tell us about the big news today?
We've had a few different inflection points in OnDeck's history. And today is one of the biggest ones. We're excited to announce that we've raised a $100 million community-backed accelerator fund, which is going to help 1,000 entrepreneurs create net new startups. And that is part of this new program that we have, ODX, which is sitting on top of the OnDeck Founder Fellowship, which is going to invest the first $125K in an entrepreneur's journey and back startups from all over the world. And we're absolutely stoked for it.
You know, David, we were talking about this before the episode, and I gingerly said, okay, David, real talk me, why do we need another accelerator? It seems like there's a lot of things going on. And you said something very interesting about the community-backed aspect as differentiating it. So I'd love for you to give, for the audience, your articulation there, because it's really helpful in conceptualizing what we're doing here.
Absolutely. This is not just another accelerator. The best thing any founder or anyone thinking about starting a company can do is get backed by a community. It has never been easier to start a company. The tools are available to anyone. Silicon Valley has gone global. The mindset is out there on the internet, which also means the noise is higher than ever. And if you're thinking about starting a company, the most valuable thing you can do is surround yourself with a community of people who will be your early collaborators, your possible customers, people who actually care enough to give you the early feedback to help you build the product, to then invest in you, and as you go, that's how you get ahead of the pack. That's how you get the advantage. So the unique thing happening here is by basically rallying the OnDeck community behind this cohort of new founders, giving them all some skin in the game in the success of every company that comes out of OnDeck. We think this is really a turning point for community-backed capital.
And Dave, let's expand on that, because this has been one of the driving elements beyond for OnDeck for a couple of years now, is this idea that community and talent is the great scarcity when it comes to building companies, right? It used to be that it was so hard to get a product off the ground, and so you needed to raise money, and so venture capitalists had all the leverage. But now with AWS and all these amazing no-code tools, it's easy to get a product off the ground. Now what's hard is to get it in people's hands. What's hard is to get the right co-founder, get the right team, early team. Talk a little bit about how community became this great scarcity.
There's a tweet of yours I could reference even in the very early days. I think that Y Combinator identified an arbitrage in the market, which was that young technical founders were being overlooked by the VC class of the era, that they were the people who knew how to use the tools, that could build and they could iterate cheaper and more easily, and they could evolve with their customers' feedback. That was in the era where AWS had just launched, and where the cost to start a startup suddenly plunged from $5 million and an MBA to maybe $500,000 and a very technical skill set, but you still had to be able to code, you still had to be able to build. Today you look around and you see the wealth of no-code tools available, just the knowledge which is out there on the internet, whether it's Twitter or whether it's blogs, it is so easy to get going. It'll cost you very little to get started. But the cost to break through and to get to a point where you've validated both the market, which is a fit for you as a founder, and that the solution you're building is a fit for that market. That's the elusive product market fit has never been harder. And it's not just about capital cost, it's about attention cost. How do you get the attention of that audience? How do you get the attention of the people to join you along the way, whether they're co-founders, early engineers, early team members? And what we've seen now in two and a half years of running the OnDeck Fellowship, and perhaps we should take a sort of a dive back into the history of OnDeck before that as well, but certainly over the OnDeck Fellowship, we've seen cohorts of 100 to 150 people coming together and really investing in each other in an emotional sense, in an attention sense, and very much in a capital sense. What this announcement does today is it puts something which has already been in and around the OnDeck community, which was capital from angels, from the multitude of VCs and others within the ecosystem, but puts that capital right at the heart, and it aligns everybody's interest behind our companies.
And the obvious question to ask here is, what is happening to the OnDeck Founder Fellowship given the change here?
The OnDeck Founder Fellowship is going back to its roots. So it's the OnDeck Founder Fellowship will coexist with ODX and work intimately with it. And so basically, the difference between ODX and ODF is that ODX, our new accelerator program, is for people who have conviction that they want to start a company. Maybe they don't have a co-founder. Maybe they don't have an idea. Maybe they've just left their job, but they have the conviction that that's what they want to do next. Now, there's a lot of people who don't yet have that conviction. Maybe they're still at their job, but they know that they want to do something different in the next 6 months, or maybe they've even left their job and they don't know whether they want to start a company or join a company or be an investor or be a creator, or just sort of what they want to do is they want to dip their toes in, they want to explore, they want to, brainstorm ideas with potential co-founders, co-founder date, and have that optionality. And that's what ODF is going back to. it'll be for those people who want to explore.
And this is another bit when you referenced going over the, you know, the history of OnDeck. I'm just curious, what have the two of you, we could start with you, David, just learned from these past 2.5 years? If we're making this point that community is central, you're going through the COVID period where all this became global, and not just at a metaphorical level, but a literal level. What have you two learned from these past 2.5 years that we're going to be able to push forward into the accelerator, into the fund, into the experiences of people who are looking at this program?
We like to say that OnDeck has been very emergent, that we had this high level goal of, you know, removing the bottlenecks for people to start companies, of helping just ensure more successful startups in the world, thinking that, you know, startups are one way to solve some of the world's hardest problems. And so we were sure about the goal, and we were open as to how we were going to achieve it. And we like to say that the accelerator is the fifth inflection point in OnDeck's history. And just to give some context, the first one was when we started this dinner series that ran for 3 years, organic, volunteer run. David was running in London with dozens of other cities, having chapter leaders. The second inflection point is when we moved to this OnDeck founder fellowship model. We've since had 11 cohorts. The third inflection point was when we went totally virtual because of COVID. We thought that there was a risk that maybe we were going to have to shut down, that people wouldn't want to join a virtual or digital cohort. Our business was running out of money at the time too. This was, you know, right in the middle of COVID, a huge, huge inflection point for us. And what really was amazing about that one was that it was the best thing that ever happened to us, because at the time we were just in San Francisco and then just in New York. And now San Francisco, New York is a tiny fraction of the people in OnDeck. So we were able to expand our market size and our quality significantly because we accessed a global talent pool right away. So that was the third inflection point. The fourth inflection point, also bolstered by COVID, was going horizontally. So we realized, hey, there's a limitation to how big this thing can get just within the founder fellowship, because you need to keep quality really high and you need to keep the experience really high. And both of those can degrade after a certain scale, the intimacy and the quality. And so we realized, hey, but we want to be a really, you know, valuable enterprise and offer even more value to these founders. And we said, okay, let's expand horizontally. We add value to people in the founder fellowship by helping them find their co-founder. But what if we could help them find their first 20 hires, or their first, you know, 20 customers, or their first 20 investors? And so that's when we launched our angel investor program, and then our investor programs following that. That's when we launched our positions program, you know, for product managers and designers and customer success and chief of staff, and, you know, name every position that we're going to get into. And then that's when we launched our transitions program for people who are looking explicitly to join companies. And then we also launched our sectors verticals. And so within a year, we've gone from one to around 20 programs. And that model works. We've learned how to do these digital cohorts. We're now bringing back some IRL components too. And when we've thought about the different bottlenecks that you know, founders have in terms of, you know, what prevents people from taking the leap, we've identified a few things. One is, you know, getting the right co-founder. Two is getting the right idea. You know, three is capital, and that's what we're doing here with the accelerator. Some other things to figure out, you know, healthcare. We partnered with Savvy to be able to offer healthcare insurance for people. Immigration, we're starting to look into that too. But then also just inspiration and sort of giving people not just the sort of the encouragement that this is something that they could do, but really the context. Because, you know, when you leave a company to start a company that doesn't yet exist, other people call that unemployed. That's what your parents might call it. That's what your friends might call it. And so having is a, hey, I'm not unemployed, I'm in the OnDeck fellowship. That should be a phrase we should coin, you know, is a safe way for people to really explore and just kind of dabble in different ideas. And that's kind of what it looks like before you get a company off the ground. You're sort of exploring in things that other people haven't yet really explored, that don't yet look obvious. And so by creating that context, it's really helped lots of people take the time they need to get their idea off the ground. And that's why we're keeping ODF even while launching the accelerator as well.
How about you, David?
I mean, just to double down on one thing Eric mentioned there around the scaling of a community. And one of the most powerful things I think I've seen OnDeck learn, you know, as Eric says, strategy is emergent, is this idea of building network utility on the back end while building ever more focused and intimate experiences on the front end. And if you look at, you know, the best example was the original OnDeck Founder Fellowship started out focused on a very specific point in time. It was that the most pure form of being on deck, that I'm working somewhere, I'm thinking about leaving to start a company. Now, over the next year and a half, a lot of people went through that. 2,000 people went through that, and they went on to start companies. They went back to get jobs. They started funds. They went on, you know, full-time angel investing, and you know, the on-deck community sort of grew. Now, a lot of communities will do that, and they'll start to get less and less valuable as they get spread too thin. What on-deck said is, let's start more communities around more and more specific personas. So that could be OD50 for people looking to get a job, you know, among the first 50 hires. It could be on-deck no-code for people looking to, you know, learn basic tools, build MVPs and no-code. Could be climate, healthcare, fintech, could be longevity, deep tech. And so we see this as an extension of that. It's on-deck continuing to lean into how do we grow the network by adding more communities that pull in expert operators, investors, pull in people who are, you know, high trajectory in their careers as product managers, designers, engineers, as, you know, growth leads, as marketers, and to create really intimate, powerful spaces for them on the front end. That means it's still, you know, it's still a cohort of 80 to 100 people. And within that cohort, there's even more intimate experiences, like, for example, mastermind groups of 10 to 12 people. But on the back end, the network just keeps on getting bigger and keeps on getting more powerful. And the tools that we're building, the product at the core of this, helps you navigate that, helps you offer, you know, any network member, particularly those who have invested in the fund, have skin in the game and the success of every company here, will be offering up office hours, will be hosting sessions on the thing that they know best in the world. You know, they'll be able to make investor introductions. Eric had this saying, the next YC is a marketplace. And we believe that, you know, well and deeply and truly, that each individual member of this market network will be a valuable, you know, node, and able to route value from you know, into and out of that network.
So something I'd love to hear a response to, because I'm saying this as a genuine compliment. Something that's always excited me about OnDeck, even before I was there, was a lot of what we're talking about is very ideas driven. So startups are great, founding things is great, marketplaces, networks, et cetera. But there's actually an idea here. And I was looking through the documents on the announcement, and something that caught my mind was this idea that the biggest constraint to startup creation is the lack of founders, or lack of founders' availability to just actually create startups. And Eric, to your point earlier, 20 years ago, it was server space, technical co-founder. There's all these things, but we've actually just gotten to the core where we're really just at the individual level. So I'd like to hear the two of you talk more about this idea of unlocking the value that actually exists within founders, and how not only works within the company's ethos, but also is something that we could very practically attack over the course of not only the fund, but just the company's existence as a whole.
There's one I'll start you off with, if I can, and it's an idea I actually credit back to Charles Cushing, who's our ODF program director, called the Market for Solutions. Charles hypothesized that there is an inefficiency in the market for solutions, whereby, you know, people, there are, the world has so much capital floating around looking for a return. It has so many problems. You think about every inefficient industry, every system or process which isn't running using the technology it should be, running as optimally as it should be. And then you have millions of people who have all the knowledge of those problems, the knowledge of different technologies and different, you know, things required to fix those problems. But those three latent resources aren't connecting. They aren't clearing fast enough. So you think through different clearinghouses for that marketplace. Things like venture studios come to mind. Venture studios are a fairly inefficient form of clearing the market, because they'll take 20 to 40% of the equity in a company as they go. There's, you know, various collisions that happen in different scenarios. And we think that, you know, environments like Stanford is one which has reduced the cost of communication. It's you know, inserted like a legibility into the talent and the opportunities. And we see OnDeck as using a similar educational foundation, the structured programs and cohorts of OnDeck, to do something to this global market for solutions, what Stanford was able to do on a very local level in Silicon Valley, which is to increase the clearing of the market solutions, ultimately get more founders in business, and to create more startups by connecting people, problems, and capital at a far faster rate.
I mean, now is it's got to be the best time to be a founder. I mean, there's so much capital, and there's so many people who are being so successful in sort of record breaking time. You know, it used to be sort of, you know, the only people, you like, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg got successful, or yeah, Bill Gates got, you know, dropped out, but how many, you know, young founders are there really? Or yeah, there might have been this one, you know, founder from this place, but still, you have to be in Silicon Valley, right? There was all these tropes preventing people from being successful. We just saw this young guy in the Philippines, I believe in his, you know, early 20s, with Axie Infinity, you know, create a unicorn, I think Decacorn by now, in like 6 months, or just, you know, have incredibly explosive growth. I mean, every day, every week, there's sort of new barriers being unlocked, or sort of new role models, right? Canva, you know, Australian founder, I believe, you know, $40 billion company. I mean, great companies can be built everywhere. And the thing that's interesting is that there were tangible bottlenecks holding people back, and there still are, but they're being addressed. You know, capital, talent, either right founders finding each other, or the right ideas. You know, we like to say one of the things we want to do at OnDeck is organize the world's ambition. And there's a few ways of looking at that. Right? One is, you know, thinking about aligning talent with the thing that they're best set up to do and the thing that they most want to do. And we have a ton of talent that goes into Goldman Sachs and Bain and McKinsey. And I don't mean to knock those places. Those places are great training grounds, and they're, you know, inspiring in their own way. But there's a lot of people, and I'd posit more than half, but those people don't actually want to be there. They see that as like a stepping stone to like starting a company. And you don't need to work at McKinsey, Bain, or Goldman Sachs to start a company. You'd actually be better off not doing that. Better off working at a company or a startup or starting one directly. And so I think part of it's just making it, you know, culturally accessible. But then it's also just removing the risks, right? And so if you can get in advance, if you can get a co-founder, if you could get the right idea, here's another bottleneck with ideas. It's just so redundant. We have all these people who do all this exploration into, you know, healthcare or education or climate. They learn so much, and then that learning just kind of stays with them. We should be all be like, and so when someone goes out to start that learning, they're kind of, you know, starting from scratch. What if we could harness all the knowledge that people pick up, say, hey, here are where the bodies are buried. Here's where there's a real opportunity. What David was talking about for the market for solutions, and make that available to everybody. So that's something we're thinking about. The last thing I'll say is that there are more cultural tropes because we haven't seen enough outliers, although we're starting to now. You know, people still have these sort of like old wives' tales about, which is this sort of idea that you have to find your co-founder. You have to like go to college with them or work with them in the past. And OnDeck is proving, and others are proving, that actually, no, you can just meet a co-founder and create a big company together. Like it's not in the same way that you could meet a new best friend or a new relationship, or, you know, you don't have to have known them for a decade plus. The other idea is that you can't sort of be too deliberate about picking an idea. It has to be a problem that you yourself have faced. And while that's led to many successful companies, there's now been enough companies be successful that have just methodically picked an idea, you know, did sort of rigorous analysis, or even stumbled into it. And, you know, we're successful with that too. And then the last one is that entrepreneurs are born, not made. The only people that could be entrepreneurs are people who have known for a long time that they want to be an entrepreneur and can't do anything else. When in reality, lots of people stumble into entrepreneurship. I certainly did, and David did too, in the same way that people might stumble into, you know, joining the military or something. You know, people who are very successful in the military or other fields, maybe they stumbled into it too, and they just happen to have the right skills, the right place, the right time. And so I think enough people are being successful and enough sort of shots on goal, we're now have, opening up what it looks like and what it means to be a founder, which is exciting for everybody.
Man, I am smiling at the idea of our pals on Wall Street and in management consulting who need to be set free to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams. But I think jokes aside, what you're getting at that's actually very important is if we're trying to pull from those thousand startups that aren't getting founded at this moment, this is a global problem. This isn't just a coastal like New York City SFLA problem. There's all these different categories of people who aren't jumping into the playing field. And if OnDeck could actually prove, as we are proving, that there's a community there that's scalable over something there. So can you two just speak, we'll start with you, David. Can you just speak about who are these people who don't think of themselves as entrepreneurs who should be? And how does scaling them up look like? Because, you know, despite, once again, the joke about McKinsey, I know plenty of McKinsey consultants who probably shouldn't go launch a startup quite right now. So just let's identify who we're speaking to, because frankly, that's the person I wanted to listening to this episode and actually take the next step. So talk to them directly. Like, who are they? What do they need? What are they being provided with?
I love that. I think about the ideal applicant persona in two buckets, and Eric may have an addition to this as well, but the two to me are firstly people who have lived frictions in the world, whether they've been working in an industry, hospitality, trucking and logistics, whatever it may be, they've thought, man, this thing doesn't make sense that I have to do it that way, but never really questioned the system. And then this is a call to arms to say, question the system. You could try to change it within by, you know, climbing the ranks to management and whichever, you know, monolith of a company you work at, or leave the system, build a better system. And OnDeck is the place that you can do that. Even if you never thought you could start a company to tackle this problem, OnDeck is a place you can do that. And just the earned secrets that person possesses, I think are something, you know, just deeply valuable, untapped wealth, untapped resource. The other is experienced operators. And many of those experienced operators have been working at, you know, the last generation of breakout unicorns. They've been first 50 employees scaled through to thousands of employees. They've seen how the sausage is made. They've been along one of those rocket ship journeys themselves. They probably weren't early enough to get, you know, wealthy themselves, independently wealthy themselves, but they've had a taste of it and know them and their networks, the people who they rode those rocket ships alongside, have a hunger to go back and build again. Now, those skills will very much be often be technical, engineering, product, but also operational. It's the operations leaders, the marketing and growth leaders who've sort of been along that journey. And what I'm excited for is in particular the convergence of those two groups, where you might find that in sort of a typical Silicon Valley bubble, you get a lot of people interacting who have all of the same skills. They're all working for top tech startups. They've all, you know, they're all engineers, they're all product managers, but they don't have access to the problems, to the insights, to the knowledge that first group have. And then the first group may not have even, you know, contemplated starting a company at all. So that's one. And I wanted to share a little, you know, gem of a learning that we had actually about 18 months ago before I passed to Eric as well. We actually piloted a program called the Runway Grant Program about a year and a half ago, where it was a convertible ISA, and we said, same problem, lots of talent sitting on the sidelines, not taking the leap to explore starting a company, and the goal of this was to provide some capital. It was $25,000. It was to provide access to OnDeck, to give them the confidence of a career coach and access to the, you know, the OnDeck hiring pool if they decided that building a company wasn't for them. Now, the biggest learning was that it was actually the confidence. It was what one thing Eric mentioned, which was, you know, the ability to say, well, I'm not unemployed, I'm OnDeck. It was the confidence of the community there that even if building a company didn't work out, then there was going to be some other rocket ship for them to hop aboard as an early employee. It was the confidence, that additional confidence we gave them by saying, yeah, we're here for you with our, you know, career coach, or with our capital concierge to help get you introduced to early angel investors once the time is there to go. And those things were actually more important than the capital for many. So and here I want to bring this all the way back to one of your first questions, which was, what is the unique advantage of this accelerator? Yes, you get capital, and capital is important. It is the blocker that is stopping, you know, it's the thing that's stopping a lot of people from quitting their jobs and starting companies. But to me, it's actually the alignment that comes with that. It's the fact that 1,000 people, the entire community, has a stake in your success, and will help you navigate the network market that is OnDeck to help you find whether it is you're starting a company, validate the idea, whether you are looking for a, you know, you end up invalidating your idea and looking for a job, find that company through, you know, either just directly or through, you know, OD50 or one of our talent programs, and to help sort of be that community that you have along the way as you scale your company and grow it as well.
I'll provide some context here, some framing. Of course, you know, Marc Andreessen said a decade ago that software is eating the world, and that's exactly what happened. It ate a lot of the world, and the stuff that it ate first was the frontier. You know, internet infrastructure. You know, Google, Facebook, eBay, Yelp. Then marketplaces, right? Airbnb, and then it started to get into the stuff that was harder to eat, right? What was the physical world, the regulated world, right? Healthcare, housing, education, you know, finance. And this changed sort of the persona of who had the advantage in building companies, right? And you talked, your question earlier, Marshall, was who is this for? It's for people who have expertise, right? Because in the beginning, as David mentioned earlier, you know, the arbitrage that YC brilliantly discovered was, you know, technical founders can build these, you know, internet frontier, you know, products, Reddit, right? Twitch, they don't require deep expertise aside from building products. But now that software is getting into the last spaces that haven't been eaten yet, that are highly regulated, that involve a deep set of relationships, deep set of expertise, they're highly niche. And of course, you know, they can be niche at scale because the amount of people on the internet is growing significantly. And so niches can now become enormous businesses. And how many people are there out with expertise in the world on a very small, you know, area of finance or healthcare, whatever it is, there's a lot of people with expertise on a domain who don't know anything about building a company. But remember, the barriers to build a company are so much lower. It's so much easier to get capital. It's so much easier to get to build a first version of a product or to find a technical co-founder. It's so much easier to get the expertise to build build a company. And right now, it's also getting so much easier, thanks to OnDeck and other companies and services, to explore, to experiment, to try starting something out, see if it works, and if it doesn't, just go back without much cost or reputational cost because of the difference between job risk and career risk. People really respect founders. And so I like this because it shifts the balance of power of who could start companies. And the people with expertise who haven't had maybe, with domain expertise, who maybe haven't had technical product building chops, now are empowered in a way that they weren't before.
I want to load one more idea just on the back of what Eric said. There's a lot of ecosystems around the world have tried to recreate what Silicon Valley did. And we've spoken a little bit today about, you know, the mindset of Silicon Valley. That's gone global. The ability to build a company, that's gone global. Silicon Valley has, at this point, you know, 7 or 8 cycles of innovation of companies that have been founded, scaled. The employees have gone on to start and fund the next generation. In Europe, we're now seeing, we're coming into around the 3rd or the 4th cycle in a similar way. In different ecosystems around the world, you know, be it Southeast Asia, Canada, Australasia, there are different stages of those cycles, which really represent the maturity of that local ecosystem. What we are seeing now in OnDeck, because you can join a founder fellowship from anywhere in the world, we're seeing it's almost a bursting of those bubbles, a cross-pollination between those cycles, where somebody who might have been an early employee at Revolut or one of the most recent generation of unicorns out of Europe can meet with somebody who was at an earlier company out of Silicon Valley and meet with somebody who is at a later stage out of Southeast Asia. And it really accelerates the pace of that growth. Now, we are already in a period of compounding growth where the rate of funding is accelerating. And we're just excited to see that happen even more.
Before we get to the technical details where people should go next, I want to capture something that once again resonated with me and Eric, the two of you actually really spoken to. There's this cliche, and I like the idea of us updating away from old cliches that were driven the space, that, you know, the greatest minds of our generation went to work in ad tech or random B2B SaaS companies. But what's really exciting for me, and the type of thing that I'd really say to anyone who's looking at jumping into the arena we're building here, is this idea that you can really focus on climate, that there is opportunity in the healthcare and longevity space, that fintech actually can democratize access to finance, which deeply matters for people. So could the two of you really just speak to the mission-driven aspect of this? Because I do the deep end. This is me speaking more for myself here. And the founders who I speak with on the show that excite me the most are people who are actually deeply, deeply interested and obsessed with space. Celine Haliwa at Loyal, who, you know, actually went through On Deck, and she's actually just like the smartest person I've ever spoken with around longevity and a lot of biology based questions. So, because the two of you speak to just those ideas, the fact that it's important to attract those tourists to people, and how that's another opportunity for people who wouldn't traditionally see themselves as founders to actually jump in from that perspective.
First, I just want to defend the ad tech for a moment. That Web 2 era, we needed a lot of internet infrastructure to get to where we are now. Those B2B businesses that people, you know, decry are crucial for those climate companies or those longevity companies or their healthcare companies to operate effectively at scale, smoothly, and be able to focus solely on their goals, i.e., you know, domain experts to do what they do best instead of, you know, deal with the thorny challenges of really operating and scaling. And so they've been really important. And the ad tech businesses that people decry, they've been the social networks that have allowed us to connect with each other. They've been the search engines that allowed us to, you know, have the world's information in our pocket. And it's unfortunate that that was the only business model that we could figure out to scale these businesses. But now we've figured out native payments, or we're figuring it out. And so the search engines and social networks of the future will be a lot better. But we needed a lot of this infrastructure to get to where we are now, which is solving the hardest problems and using software to do it. And so now, this is a place where, or a time where, people who are domain experts who focus solely on you know, their mission, whether it's education, whether it's healthcare, whether it's climate, whether it's, you know, banking the unbanked, whatever it is, now have the most leverage they've ever had in history to be able to do that and be able to focus on that. And there's more dollars, you know, going in than ever. I mean, I was just listening to Chris Sacca's podcast on 20 Minute VC about climate before, and it's inspiring to see all the activity that's happening there, and that's why we really doubled down early on our sector's approach. And our sectors are exactly what we're talking about. It's climate, fintech, healthcare, longevity, education, because we know that there's so many people who are inspired to tackle problems in those areas. And they think that they have to do it in policy or in academia or, you know, in nonprofits. And while those can be very effective ways to do it, if you find the right one, company and startups are also very effective levers to address those problems. And we're excited to see just a lot more people going into it from a startup perspective.
I want to double down on that with a call to action as well, because I think the sector networks are really, you know, powerful opportunity for people who do work in any of these sectors that we're supporting. And there's a, you know, by the time this goes out, there'll be a property tech one. There's a, like Eric mentioned, the climate, healthcare, longevity. But for people who, even if you aren't planning on starting a company, but you just want to support those who are, because if you join a sector network, you'll be able to invest in the fund, that the funds are, you know, exclusive to community members, and that you will be able to, you know, provide office hours and to host sessions and to meet with founders and to, you know, who knows, you might end up even finding someone who's just building the future that you want to live in, and you will end up joining them too. But for the sector networks, I think it presents just an incredible opportunity to you know, create a hive mind around particular problems and particular industries and help those who have the, you know, the opportunity to build solutions, find their way to the right problems as quickly as possible, get distribution, you know, introductions to customers once they get there. So really excited. And anyone who resonates, check out the On Deck website under the Sector Networks tab.
And so for the last question to take us out, what spaces are just the two of you most excited about right now? As you're, you know, if let's pretend On Deck still happened, you aren't at On Deck, like what would you be personally excited to look into and building in this sort of accelerator program?
One space I've really been excited about is what I call people search engines. This idea that, you know, you can go to Amazon and find the perfect book for you. You can go to Netflix and find the perfect TV show, or Pandora and find the perfect, you know, song. And these are algorithms that learn your taste and then make, you know, the perfect recommendations for you. And yet when it comes to finding a, let's say, collaborator or the right job or the right close friends or the right relationship, we're kind of, you know, on our own, or we don't have that sort of digital matchmaker that gets to know us better than we know ourselves and recommends, you know, different paths or different people for us. And these are the most important things of our life, right? Like who we work with, you know, who we date, who we befriend, where we go. And yet we're all paralyzed by our optionality and by the lack of knowledge that we have around these paths. So I'd love to build something in that space or see people building that space as a customer and user, but also as a opportunity to make a big impact in a lot of people's lives.
Eric, David, this has been really great. Everyone has the resources. They have the links. When is all this going live in terms of the actual accelerator beginning?
We've just announced it. We're now accepting applications. The first batch technically starts in January, but we've already accepted a few companies, and we're accepting companies on a rolling basis. So if you want to work with us right now, apply, and we're excited to see them come in.
Excellent. Good luck, guys. This is really great, and I'm incredibly excited. Personal bias aside, around everything we're all building here together.
Thanks, Marshall. The Deep End has been an amazing, you know, source of applications to OnDeck, and just been really cool to learn with our community. So thanks for doing it. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you. And everyone, check out beyonddeck.com/apply. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us in The Deep End. If you enjoyed your stay, give us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this episode with your friends and colleagues to help grow the show with us. We've also got show notes and more episodes available at ideas.beyonddeck.com. See you next time.